Would you pray with me, please? May only the truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The practice of the Diocese of Calgary, and that's the Southern Alberta Anglican region from just north of Red Deer down to the Montana border, is to have the ordained clergy go on a silent 3.5-day retreat every fall. I have been attending those retreats for almost every year of my 30 years of ministry in this diocese. For the past 5 years, we have been going to a retreat center near Caroline called Sanctum. Before that, however, we went to a Franciscan retreat center near Cochrane called Mount St. Francis. And I'm looking at Alan McQuaig over there. You've been there a number of times. Now, Mount St. Francis is a place I really love, but I have one criticism. In the printed package welcoming retreatants to the retreat house, it concludes with these words, at the very end of the brochure. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And then it says, "A prayer of St. Francis." Now the Dominicans would never make a mistake like that. Never, ever. You'd never find a thing, a prayer of St. Dominic. They wouldn't do it. Now, there are many wonderful prayers, canticles, and blessings attributed to St. Francis. I wouldn't for a moment take anything away from St. Francis. But that prayer, that blessing, is certainly not one of them. That blessing originates long before Francis and is found in this morning's Old Testament lesson from the book of Numbers. There in chapter 6 of the book of Numbers, the Lord God of Israel instructs his servant Moses to pass on specific words of blessing to Aaron, who was the first high priest. The Lord commands that Aaron and his successors bless the Israelites with these words which are commonly referred to as the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And for roughly 3,500 years, that blessing has been used at the end of Israelite and Jewish worship services. Imagine, that blessing was used to bless the Israelites when they worshipped in the tent of meeting in the desert. It was used to bless the Israelites at the end of worship services in the temple. And it has been used to bless the people at the end of worship services in the synagogues. Through the centuries and millennia, these words of blessing have been spoken into the lives of the faithful. And for the past 2,000 years, the Christian faithful, those who by faith and God's grace have been made co-inheritors with Israel of God's covenants, have also spoken and received those words of blessing. You will find the Aaronic blessing throughout Christian liturgical texts. For instance, the funeral service in the Book of Common Prayer ends with the Aaronic blessing on page 601. It is also found at the end of the service of thanksgiving after childbirth. Or in the Book of Alternative Services, you will find that Aaron's blessing is at the end of morning prayer. Also, you'll find that blessing as part of the prayer of committal at a funeral. And those are just a few examples. And it is a blessing often used in homes and among families. When my daughter was little, I would bless her with those words at the end of bedtime prayers. The Aaronic blessing is in three parts. First, the Lord bless you and keep you. This asks that the Lord's favor and protection rest upon those being blessed. Two, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This asks that the Lord's light shines in the darkness of those being blessed, bringing guidance and comfort. This part of the blessing reminds me of C.S. Lewis's famous words, "I believe in God the same way in which I believe in the sun, because by it I can see everything else." And third, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." This asks that the Lord turns his face toward us, watching over us and bringing us his peace, or in Hebrew, shalom. Such shalom peace means not only the absence of conflict, but that all our relationships are relationships with God and one another and ourselves, be rooted in justice and love. This is a beautiful blessing. But in verse 27, just after we read the words of the blessing, the Lord says this to Moses, "So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." So they will put my name on the Israelites. By my name, the Lord is referring to the ancient name of the God of Israel, a name so holy that it was only pronounced once a year by the high priest in the Holy of Holies. The pronunciation is lost in history, but was something like Yahweh. In Judaism, the divine name is always replaced by the Hebrew Adonai, or Lord. And in most of our translations, the Lord is used in place of the name. And so you see, the original Aaronic blessing was something like this: Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is why the Lord says concerning this blessing, "So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." For the original form of the blessing repeated the sacred name of God over the people. And the reason that was important was that it was understood that to truly be in relationship with another, you had to know their name. Thus, to truly know God means that God knows our names and we know God's name. This can lead us to wonder, is it a terrible tragedy that we have lost the knowledge of how to speak the ancient name of Israel's God? Have we lost the blessing of having God's name spoken over us? Well, the good news is no. Because we have been given another name, a name both ancient beyond time and ever new. It is the name that in Luke chapter 1, the archangel Gabriel instructs Mary to give her child. And it is the name that Joseph is told to give the child in Matthew 1. The name is a Hebrew name, meaning Yahweh saves, or Yahweh Savior. So something of the ancient name is contained in this new name. It is pronounced in Hebrew and Aramaic as Yeshuach. Its Greek form is, of course, Jesus. Though it was a common name at the time, its use here, as explained by the angel, is unprecedented. For when the angel instructs Joseph about the name in Matthew 1, verse 21, the amazing meaning of the name is made clear. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the name we are given reveals Jesus as the manifestation of Yahweh's saving power and purposes. St. Paul writes this about the name of Jesus in Philippians 2. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all of this brings us to today's gospel reading from Luke 2, verse 21, where we read, "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived." In the Old Testament law, the boys were to be circumcised and named on the eighth day of their birth. That is why today, January 1st, the eighth day of Christmas, is the feast of the naming of Jesus. For this is the day that this most holy name of Yahweh's salvation was given to our Lord. This is the name of the incarnate God who has come to save humanity and all creation from the forces of sin, evil, and death. And in the very naming of this child on the eighth day, we are given a foreshadowing of the price he will pay as our Savior. For in his moment of being named as Yahweh Savior, Jesus, his infant blood was shed in the covenant act of circumcision. This moment of circumcision is a prefiguring of the Savior's lifeblood being poured out on the cross, defeating the powers of sin and death, and creating a new and eternal covenant with all the people of the world. It seems so fitting that this eighth day of Christmas, this feast of the naming of Jesus, always takes place on January 1st, New Year's Day. New Year's Day is often a time of anxiety as we wonder what the future will hold. I think that for many, this new year of 2017 is being greeted with particular trepidation. But the naming of this child gives us the assurance of God's saving purposes for us and all his creation. The naming of this child should fill us with hope and courage in the beginning of this new year and every new year. For God has come among us in his Son, because God is a saving God who longs to bless us. And God's saving and blessing purposes for us are summed up in that ancient Aaronic blessing, especially when it is prayed in the name that has been given to us and all creation. And I would like to finish by praying that blessing into your lives and your new year in the words of blessing given to Aaron and all God's people, and in the name which is above every name. Would you please stand? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.